Drier weather moves in. Mostly clear skies tonight. Comfortable sleeping weather, a low down to 61. Partly sunny and cooler tomorrow, a high of around 73. And that's basically the forecast for the next few days after that. For Wednesday, sunny skies, a high of 74. Expanded forecast, dry Thursday through Saturday with a gradual warm-up. By the weekend, we will be in the low 80s. Right now, with some light rain in the area, a temperature reading of 73, southwest winds at 9 miles per hour. I'm David Cole, WGTD News. The Morning Show with Greg Berg is coming up.
Support for the Morning Show comes from Carthage College, welcoming approximately 150 full-time transfer students each year. Eligible Gateway graduates can receive guaranteed admission to Carthage to complete their bachelor's degrees. Transfer to a more personalized education in four easy steps. More information about admissions and competitive scholarships for transfers available at carthage.edu/admissions/transfer. And we welcome you to the Monday Morning Show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. Part one will feature a follow-up conversation about the organization Better Angels with Cameron Swallow, the First Lady of Carthage College. And in part two, in a nice little bonus, a few minutes with Peter Yarrow of Peter, Paul, and Mary. And we welcome you to the Monday Morning Show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. I'm very, very happy to be welcoming back into the Morning Show guest chair, Cameron Swallow. And many of you know her as the First Lady of Carthage College. Her husband, Dr. John Swallow, is president of Carthage. And Cameron Swallow has been very active in the community in a number of different respects. And most recently, has become active in an organization called Better Angels. And this is an organization that was created in the wake of the most recent presidential election in 2016. It was created in a small community in Ohio, and we'll let Cameron Swallow tell us more about the specifics of its creation. But it was designed to try to build some bridges of understanding between what seemed to be two rigidly polarized extremes in the American population, extremes that at least to some extent were probably already there, but many of us had no idea that they were present and that there were such sharp divisions over many key issues affecting the country. And this organization, which began in a sense very modestly, on a modest scale, has actually grown to now be a presence in all 50 states. And Cameron Swallow became intrigued by the mission of Better Angels and has been a participant in it, and actually has now taken upon herself the responsibility of coordinator of Better Angels for the state of Wisconsin. The most timely reason for this second conversation with Cameron Swallow is because of some upcoming screenings on August 1st in Kenosha, August 5th out in Union Grove, of a marvelous film about Better Angels that tells the story of its creation. And it is a very fine film, and it is hoped that a lot of people are going to seek out this film and begin to understand better what Better Angels is all about. So I'm very glad that we can have Cameron Swallow with us to talk about the organization and this film and what may be coming up in the near future. Cameron Swallow, we welcome you back to the Morning Show.
Thanks for having me, Greg.
And we want to remind people again that we had a previous conversation about Better Angels and her work with it, and people can certainly seek that out easily in the archives if they want to hear any or all of that previous conversation. Maybe we could start by having you sort of expand on a rather cursory summary that I just gave of the creation of this organization called Better Angels in the small community of Lebanon, Ohio. Explain in a little further detail what happened with the creation of this organization.
I believe it started with a phone call between two men named David. David Blankenhorn called his friend David Lapp after the 2016 election and said, "Hey, can we get people in a room together and talk about what just happened?" And they got 10 Trump voters and 10 Clinton voters in the same room and talked with the, you know, baseline assumptions of respect and seeking understanding together. And they had a conversation. It was one of those magic transformative moments that created in them a desire to share the experience that they had together. So they created Better Angels. They gathered people together to repeat that experience and make a video, which is what we're going to be showing on the 1st of August and the 5th of August at a library in Kenosha and a bank in Union Grove. This documentary takes only 50 minutes, but it is a combination of direct interviews with people who experienced that second workshop, and then also footage from the workshop itself. You know, it's not a camera mounted on the wall filming every moment of a workshop, but it does do clips of real activity during the workshop, and then interviews with participants afterwards.
So this is very close to the very beginning of it all, and yes, really gives us a sense of what it was like for these people to gather and to try to make sense of something that was such a stunning surprise, really, for just about everybody. I mean, no matter who you voted for, it was not what was expected, and even maybe more unexpected was sort of what we were left with in terms of this sense of being two countries in one, or a country so deeply divided. And this was a way to try to understand that a little better. Explain just a little further what exactly happened with those 10 Clinton voters and those 10 Trump voters who gathered in one room. Beyond just the very general description that I've given of an effort to help people understand each other, mm-hmm. What was done to try to accomplish that difficult goal?
Well, the workshops are very, very organized and scripted as far as the order of the activities and the scope of the conversation. It's very carefully organized so that there's a lot of preparatory work done in same color groups, and the reds go in one room and the blues in the other, and then they come back and discuss what they've done. And then there's a fishbowl exercise where the blues sit and have a conversation and the reds watch them have it but do not interrupt and do not comment. And then that the order changes and the blues listens to the reds talk to each other. And then as the final activity of the group, they actually get into different color pairs, and with the background of having listened so much to each other, they can have the individual conversations. And the universal takeaway, I guess, is that we're not as far apart as we get told that we are. That when ordinary people take time and trust to listen to each other honestly, they find ways that they can have some common ground, can work together, can accomplish something that is good and decent for society instead of moving toward the logical conclusion of the hostility would be simple warfare. And it's very hopeful to see the relief on their faces when they realize that we really are all human beings together after all, and we're not the monsters that we get told the other side is.
Right. If we only, in a sense, read the headlines or read the Twitter feed, mm-hmm. one would have a sense that we are talking about an irreparable rift, but that, in fact, people who don't live on Twitter and whose beliefs can't be summed up mm-hmm. in the brevity of a Twitter feed, as they talk through issues, we find that there is much more common ground and even much more common understanding than it feels like there is. Mm-hmm. So that's part of the purpose of Blue Angel of Better Angels, is to uncover this common ground.
Mm-hmm. And the beautiful thing about the documentary that we're bringing to town is that it shows that getting done in real time with real people. And these are ordinary people. This is not a gathering of the greatest scholars in some field. This is a cross-section of society, different ages, different races, different classes, and the general educational level is the average for the nation. Mm. So there's inspiration in that as well.
Right. For those of you just joining us, I'm speaking with Cameron Swallow about the organization Better Angels. She is now the coordinator for the state of Wisconsin for Better Angels. Remind our listeners and remind me how you first heard about Better Angels and in a sense, what you did once you heard about it.
Well, I saw it on a friend's Facebook post, and it stands out when you're looking for solutions to difficulties in your own life, your own family circle, your own friend sphere, and it looked like something that was hopeful along those lines. And the more I read about it, I clicked and I clicked again, and researched a little more deeply and learned more details. And the more I learned, the more I saw there was room for me to be active and play a role in it. It was a good match for a skill set I already have from the high school classroom. There was a need for leadership in Wisconsin because Wisconsin is one of the later wave states to become active in the Better Angels movement. And one thing led to another, and I got to go to the national convention in St. Louis and meet the delegates from all over the nation. I mean, all 50 states were honestly, legitimately represented at this convention. And I got a greater sense of the scope and the possibility. And when they offered me or asked me to take the leadership role for Wisconsin, I was then prepared to accept it.
Mm-hmm. When you came on the morning show the first time, and I don't even remember exactly how long ago that was, do you happen to roughly recall? That was a few months ago?
April.
It was April, okay. That was ahead of something that occurred in Kenosha. Can you just explain what that event was that we were talking about on your first visit to the morning show?
Yes, the first event for Better Angels in southeastern Wisconsin. The Facebook group is Better Angels in SE Wisconsin, mm-hmm. So you look for it with those initials, was called a skills workshop. And the skills workshop might as well be subtitled How to Disagree Without Being Disagreeable. And you can do there's no screening of participants. Anybody who signs up can come to it, and there's no effort to make it exactly 50-50 red and blue participants. So we had about 30% red and 70% blue, which I think we're on the trail to improving our red composition of our local group now. And the But historically, Better Angels does have difficulty recruiting enough red participants to keep things balanced 50-50, which is the stated goal, and for the leadership, an absolute requirement.
Mm.
So that event was on the 4th of May at the Northside Library, and we had 54 participants engaged in practicing active listening, reflective listening, listening for understanding rather than plotting your next verbal attack so that you can win, you can score your next point and defeat the enemy forever. You know, it really was listening for understanding and listening to learn instead of to fight.
And was this the first Better Angels event of any kind that it occurred in the state of Wisconsin?
A week ago, I would have answered with confidence yes, but I have learned now that there was a beginning of Better Angels in Madison a couple of years ago. Oh. But the person who staged that first workshop moved away, and the field went dormant.
Wow!
Until we restarted it in May.
Very good. So you feel good about what occurred at that workshop in early May?
I do. I do. The primary negative feedback, if you call it that, was encouraging in that people wanted more engagement. In the skills workshop, you pair up with someone of your same color, and one of the people does the role play of the opposite color with talking prearranged talking points. And that's because we don't do a screening and we don't want super angry people getting paired with somebody and causing trouble and over the real deeply felt divide. And so people are in same color pairs and sort of practicing for future engagement.
Mm.
And now we have scheduled a red-blue workshop. It is later in September, and it is going to be 7 blues and 7 reds. It has to be exactly 50-50, and it will take all day on a Saturday, the 14th of September. And we are still working on that invitation list, so if somebody wants to volunteer to be part of that and really wants to participate on the 14th of September, either red or blue. You can't be a purple and participate in this particular red-blue workshop. But do contact me, cswallow@better-angels.org.
Very good. So, again, this event that we previously talked about in early May left people really hungry to have further experiences, and in a sense, maybe deeper experiences, in which they were actually engaging directly with people from the other side of the political aisle.
Yes.
And that had to be, I'm sure, greatly encouraging to you, that was the hunger that people had.
Yes.
So tell us about the decision you made to become a coordinator for the state of Wisconsin and what that means. What kind of responsibility are we talking about?
Well, it's bane and blessing when a new responsibility is not very well defined. It can be whatever we make it, which is great, but it's also daunting because, well, what exactly is it that you want to make it? One thing I do expect it to involve is a good bit of travel, and that suits me very well because I'm such a brand new Midwesterner and have learned something about Southeast Wisconsin and Northern Illinois, but I haven't learned very much about the rest of the state, and much of Wisconsin is very different from this little corridor between Milwaukee and Chicago.
Absolutely. So part of what you envision is really exploring the rest of the state of Wisconsin, and I suppose part of your responsibility is to try to drum up more widespread interest in Better Angels.
That's right. And here are the tools that I have to do that. There is a database through the Better Angels membership list that I have and some contacts in different areas. I'm going to Madison in mid-September for a talk to a Rotary Club. Rotary is a almost universal partner with Better Angels in many states in this nation. And I've had a conversation here with a local Rotary Club about speaking to a Kenosha Rotary gathering. And I'll be speaking to a Madison Rotary gathering. And then that same evening, we're coordinating, you know, a two-for-one, make your driving count, organizational meeting for the first workshop to be held in the Madison area, I guess excluding that one 2 years ago. And I'm in conversation with a small group in Osceola, and I've had individual contacts from some other places in Wisconsin, and I have told them that at least at this early foundational stage, if they get a meeting together at a local coffee shop or library or whatever, I will come to that meeting. And I guess I'm just hoping that enough people will ask that I get tired of driving.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice? This seems like kind of a funny question to ask maybe in 2019, but I would assume that to some extent at least, it was important for you to have the, let's say, the blessing of your husband because of, you know, the complicated, rich lives that you live just in terms of him being the president of Carthage and you being the first lady and a certain array of responsibilities that are obviously very important to both of you. So I would assume that you had at least some kind of conversation, not that you weren't free to do this, but I'm just guessing you wanted to do this with his full blessing and encouragement.
Mm-hmm. Yes, John was certainly part of the my early musings about what form my involvement with Better Angels ought to take, and he's been a firm supporter from the beginning, knowing that it's important that I have something that feels important to do. You know, something that's important to me that is separate from him and his job and the Carthage College world. And this, honestly, fits better into what I call portfolio life. my former career of secondary school education, public school education, is relentlessly rigid and inflexible. And traveling for different Better Angels events is much more flexible and fits much better around events at Trinity House, at Carthage College, and things that I want to be part of as part of our life at Carthage.
Fantastic. So yes, I can see how, for as daunting as this is, that this is also something that you have the ability to fold into your life together as a family in a way that other outside obligations might be much more difficult to do. This you can make this work with your life, obviously.
Yes.
Very good to hear. I want us to spend a moment to talk about this wonderful film. And I've actually not had the chance to see all of it, but you were kind enough to provide me a link which allowed me to view some of it. I was extremely impressed with how beautifully put together this film is. There is nothing amateurish about it whatsoever, and it really takes us into the heart of the story of how Better Angels was created. Tell us more from your perspective about what impresses you about this film and why it's important to you that people take the opportunity to see it.
Well, my best story about the film is that it is the project, the brainchild of Peter Yarrow of Peter, Paul, and Mary. And he was an early supporter, early founding member of Better Angels, and was present at the National Convention in St. Louis in June. And hanging out, being an ordinary person, not staying in a 5-star hotel, but staying in the dormitory on the Washington University campus, just like the rest of us were.
Wow.
I ended up sharing the elevator with Peter Yarrow after the first showing of his documentary at the convention, during which, I mean, after which he had played guitar and just had a little intimate concert for the people who stayed that late at night. So we ended up sharing the elevator, and the elevator was making an unusual, somewhat irritating buzzing, beeping sound, and he started singing along with it, just matching pitch, and so I did too, and then we harmonized with the elevator. So it's a whole different understanding of elevator music. But Peter Yarrow and I have harmonized in an elevator with an elevator.
Very good, and I'd forgotten that he had some connection with the creation of this film. One of the things that I really appreciate is that these first participants in Better Angels in Lebanon, Ohio, many of whom we get to really directly meet, and we learn their names and learn a little bit about them, is how well spoken they are. Mm-hmm. And yet there's nothing fancy and polished about the way they communicate. It feels very authentic, very raw. I think especially of a moment, again, this is very early in the film, and it's one of the first meetings of these 10 Trump voters and 10 Clinton voters, and it is actually one of the Trump voters, Gene, somebody, who speaks up and says, it recounts the experience of right after the election calling up a very good friend of hers, a friend of 20 years, and not hearing back from her, and a whole week went by before this friend of hers, who happened to be someone who voted for Hillary Clinton, finally called her back. But there was a week of silence during which this woman wondered, is our friendship of 20 years, a close friendship of 20 years, is it gone? Has it been destroyed by this election and these results? And there's just something so heartfelt about the way she talks about that. And she's not alone. There are all kinds of people, friends, relatives, and so on, who felt a similar kind of potential estrangement that they never would have imagined was even possible. I find that to be a really powerful moment in this film, and in some ways it points to the heart of why Better Angels was created.
Yes, it's the most hopeful path I have seen to remembering and recovering the essential humanity that is underneath all the political posturing and litmus tests and purity questions that get in the way of communicating with each other and getting anything done.
Right. Another point in the film that was instructive to me was a moment where we see participants engaging in what is a very specific exercise that is part of these bigger, more, in a sense, organized and involved events, in which, for instance, you have blues gather in a room and they must construct what they believe are kind of the ways in which they, I forget how to phrase this, maybe the way that they are misunderstood.
The stereotypes.
Yeah, the stereotypes that spring up around who blues are or who reds are. And it's such an interesting exercise. We can just kind of see it as they are engaging in this, that Better Angels is not just about understanding the people who are not like you, but in a sense, better understanding how they see you, which in a sense is a way to better understand yourself. I mean, because there's almost always a grain of truth in the stereotypes that spring up around a given group. And I wasn't aware that was, in a sense, one of the stages or one of the exercises that in and of itself could be so valuable.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that grain of truth within the stereotype is the first step of recognizing and preparing and then perhaps enlarging the common ground that we can stand on to accomplish good works in the world together. And if you don't recognize any common ground, then the enemy simply must be eliminated. And there is no path to working together with those people over there. And I guess everybody's got a line somewhere of, you know, who you won't speak to, who you won't work with, who can't be invited to have a seat at your table. You know, everybody's got a category beyond the pale. But most of us are not those categories. There's so much room to work with ordinary people who may share some of those beliefs of your beyond the pale category, but who are not themselves your beyond the pale category. And that guilt by association is getting in the way of lots of potential productive work.
There's a lot of that going on for sure. So this film is a really rich document, in a sense, of what can happen within this group called Better Angels, in terms of blues and reds coming to a better understanding of one another. It's interesting. I think an important point we should just discuss for a moment draws back to something you said earlier, which is for this event coming up in September, you are interested in securing blues and reds. And in a sense, there isn't a place for purple in an event like that, which at first might bother somebody because, you know, I mean, someone might think, well, what's wrong with purple? And there's lots of people who are purple, and maybe that's part of what Better Angels is all about, is revealing the purple in just about all of us, even if we think of ourselves as staunchly blue or staunchly red. But even as I just sort of think about that in my mind, I suspect that what we're talking about here is that the purples of our country don't need this exercise of Better Angels the way that people who identify themselves as blue or as red, as on one side versus the other, they're the people to whom you are directly speaking. It's those kind of people for whom Better Angels was created.
Mm-hmm. Let me clarify two things there, Greg. The workshop in September, which needs 7 blues and 7 reds, also has room for up to 15 observers.
Ah.
And purples are invited into that observer category if they would wish to be.
Ah.
But if a participant drops out at the last minute, the moderator will need to substitute not from the purple category, but from whatever color that participant that dropped out belonged to.
So if there's an observer who happens to consider themselves a red or a blue, they could potentially step in.
Yes, if there were a last-minute illness or obstacle, yes.
Yeah, that's good to know.
And the other point of clarification is that it is definitely not the aim of Better Angels in any of its literature to create purples. Centrism is not the goal. The goal is humanization and being able to see that the other people on the other side have reasons for being who they are, and they are not either, you know, there's more than two choices. They're not just evil or stupid, you know?
Right.
So many of us think that anybody on the other political side, they're evil, either actively evil or hopelessly duped and misled and just dumb.
Right. And I think you're right. There are people on both sides of this divide who view the opposite side in exactly that way, and that those perceptions are not limited to one side or the other. And I'm really glad you said that. So this is not about trying to dilute what somebody believes. This is about still being allowed to believe what you believe, but perhaps with a better understanding of what your opponents believe and why.
Yes, I have a very close friend who is a Democratic Party precinct manager, and what he was concerned about: what does Better Angels do for his political position, you know? Could he be part of such a group and still lobby hard to get more Democratic politicians elected? And absolutely. Better Angels doesn't conflict with your either your political beliefs or your political activism, just in how you see the humans on the other side of the line.
Very good. That being said, the point that I said about how somebody could potentially go through this and realize that they're more of a purple than they realized at first, do you see that as a potential possibility, at least, even if that's not what Better Angels was designed to do?
Mm-hmm. Sure, it can happen, yes. It's just not the goal.
Very good. And it is important to understand the goal of Better Angels, that's for sure. I know that one of the things that intrigues you is a creation of a new format which has not existed before within Better Angels, and it actually is something that involves a debate. And so I'm very intrigued to hear more about this. So what are we talking about, and why was this folded into the work of Better Angels?
Mm-hmm. Yes, from the outside, the word debate doesn't sound very much in tune with Better Angels principles, but it's a different form of debate. It's not like the competitive forensic societies of high schools and colleges. The tagline of this form of debate is seeking truth, not victory.
Hmm.
And it was pioneered at Yale University 50 plus years ago. And it shares many similarities with traditional competitive forensics, like a simple declarative statement as a resolution and alternating arguments in favor of the resolution or against the resolution. But instead of trying to score points rhetorically against your opponent and destroy their arguments, each person who participates stands up and says things that they fully believe, not useful things, but true things from their own point of view. So it creates a more personal slant to the speeches given in a debate, and it also creates a less hostile and competitive slant, and everybody leaves edified if they've bought into the proposition from the beginning that we're going to listen for understanding.
Hmm. Very good. An intriguing possibility. Does it excite you?
Very much. I participated in two of them at the National Convention in St. Louis. And I also believe that if Better Angels' primary goal is population growth, you know, membership growth to become an influencer in the national cultural scene, debates are a good way to attract new people, particularly young people, high school and college students who are interested in debating issues and opinions, and also improving that ratio of blues to reds that I mentioned as a lack before. It's been a struggle in many of the local communities of Better Angels to make sure that there are enough red people to balance the blue people who are interested in this project.
Right.
And debates seem to be more of an attraction.
Interesting. Well, we certainly want to watch that development with very, very great interest. I appreciated that you brought with you a bit of terminology for Better Angels. It's important for people to understand, and that is the word alliance. So explain what the term alliance means and when we hear about a Better Angel alliance being formed.
Alliance, capital A, is the word for a local chapter. And different local chapters organize themselves differently, but that becomes the locus for organizing the next workshop, for inviting a speaker, for deciding whether to branch off into debates. And what I learned at the convention from some of the states that have had, older and stronger programs than Wisconsin. Minnesota particularly has been at this from the very beginning because one of the founders is from Minnesota. They have moved their alliance work into close relationship with their state legislature.
Hmm.
They've hosted a workshop with legislators across the aisle as participants, a private workshop. And they've also created a local alliance of better angels, which may or may not include any elected representatives, but they take their blue and red constituents and have a subcommittee dedicated to a certain policy issue, and they come up with a bipartisan platform that 75% of their reds and 75% of their blues all can vote to support and get behind. And then they can take that platform to the local legislature and say, here's you a head start. If you can't afford to be seen in compromising work with the other side, here is something that we know has bipartisan support, and it can give you both a little cover and a head start toward a solution.
Fascinating.
So that potential is very powerful. We're a long way from there in Wisconsin. We're just getting started with training some moderators. If you're interested in becoming a moderator, please let me know, because right now there are exactly two in the state of Wisconsin, and one of them is the state coordinator, needs to be doing some other things.
Very good. And that's, I'm sure, important work, but work that people can be trained for and that can it can make a really big difference.
Yes.
Excellent. Let's remind everybody about this marvelous film and the two opportunities that people listening to us have to see this film. And remind me, I don't have it written down, the title of it. I know it's Better Angels, colon, and then something.
Reuniting America.
That's right. That's right.
And the first showing will be Thursday, August 1st at the Southwest Library, Activity Room A at 7 p.m.
And after that?
After that, in Union Grove, there will be a showing on August 5th, Monday, also 7 p.m. at the Community State Bank.
So if people want to come see this film, is there something they need to do? Is there an admission fee or any registration involved?
No fee, no registration. Just show up, bring your friends, and be ready to watch the film. Be inspired, and there will be local Better Angels Alliance members there to answer questions afterwards.
Fantastic.
The film is only 50 minutes.
Right, and it packs a punch. It's really, really beautifully put together. So we encourage people to think about seeking out these two opportunities to see this film, Better Angels Reuniting America, August 1st at the Southwest Public Library in Kenosha, or August 5th at the Community Bank Building in Union Grove. And remind our listeners once again how they can get in touch with you, Cameron Swallow, now the coordinator of Better Angels for Wisconsin, if they have questions or interest in being a part of this.
Mm-hmm. My Better Angels email is cswallow@better-angels.org.
Great. And then there's also a Facebook page, which is Better Angels in Southeast Wisconsin, that
yes.
people can seek out as well.
And the Southeast there is abbreviated to SE.
Very good. Cameron Swallow, it's great to catch up with you and great to hear more about this laudable organization, so important for us right now. So thank you for your good work with it, and thank you for being part of the morning show. We look forward to having further conversations about Better Angels.
Thank you, Greg.
And to finish out today's program, here is a little snippet from a fun interview that I recorded more than a decade ago with Peter Yarrow of Peter Powell and Mary. Peter Yarrow, on the occasion of this conversation, had just released a children's book based on one of the most famous and beloved songs recorded by Peter Paul and Mary, namely Puff the Magic Dragon. Here is a conversation about putting that song into the form of a children's book. And what a pleasure.
The song was actually written in 1959 when I was at Cornell University during exam period with my friend Lenny Lipton. And Peter, Paul, and Mary recorded it and was released in 1962. And it was just a children's song on the album. The first album that we did had other children's songs. It's Raining, It's Pouring, and Autumn to May. And then we always did a children's song or two, and actually did a couple of children's albums. But this song has had a life of its own. And now, do you have the book there, by the way?
I do.
All right. Well, if you look at the last couple of illustrations, next to the last illustration on the right-hand side, you will see Puff the Magic Dragon. But who do you see on the left-hand side, other than Puff the Magic Dragon and Jackie Paper, who might be there? Take a look and see if you can find it.
Well, there's a tree that has come to life, and there's some flowers in the corner that come to life.
Is there a human being there?
There's a little girl.
A little girl? What? Why would a little girl be there? Turn to the next page.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. There she is, loving Puff, and behind the tree on the right, there is somebody who looks like Jackie Paper grown up. I wonder who that little girl is.
I wonder.
Maybe it's Jackie Paper's daughter.
So this is living on in new generations.
And actually, exactly. This, if you listen to the song, I don't know if you can play it, but you will hear me singing it with my daughter. And it has a totally different feel because we're singing the songs that are in the CD on the album, which include Froggy Winnicorton and The Bluetail Fly, two of the first songs I ever learned and played on the, and sang on the guitar. You will hear it's as if we're sitting there. And the difference between it, for instance, if I'm sitting there singing Puff the Magic Dragon lived by the sea, that's the way I sing it on the Peter Paul and Mary record. I'm kind of feeling it and introspective about it. But on the record, you'll hear my daughter, who has a five-month-old, a girl by the name of Valentina, and it's as if we're sitting and singing to a group of kids, and we're singing, together they would travel on a boat with the load sail. We're telling the story in a different way rather than performing it as performers, and that's very special to make a record. My daughter, Bethany Arrow, is an extraordinary singer, and her musical partner, Rufus Cappadocia, who plays the cello, is virtually the third voice on these records, and we've made a CD that's coming out, too. It's the most, I got to tell you, the most exciting thing you can do as a parent is actually do something that you create with your child and your partners when you're adults. It's the most incredible experience.
Well, and I should think it should be very exciting for you to also turn back to something that dates back to long before you were even thinking about being a parent.
No, and it was long before I could think. Actually, it was long before I was thinking about being a parent. And the most amazing aspect of this is that we are actually doing some singing together. She tours herself, you know, with Rufus Cappadocia, but sometimes we perform together. And indeed, we're going to be doing some touring in the wake of the success of this book. It's already clearly been indicated that it's going to be a number one children's book, which is a huge, just a wonderful surprise. But when you look at it and you see the quality and the beauty of the art by Eric Puybarre, he's French, and he really got the spirit of who Puff and Hanalei are. I wrote him a long dissertation about my feelings about Puff and Hanalei, and he just threw himself into it and outdid himself.
Peter Yarrow talking with me on the morning show about a children's book version of his beloved song, Puff the Magic Dragon. And he is one of the people behind the creation of this new documentary film on the organization Better Angels. Tomorrow on the morning show, Brenda DeVita. She is the artistic director of the American Players Theater in Spring Green, Wisconsin, and this is their 40th season of presenting first-class live theater in the open air in Spring Green. And